Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to everyone who will join us tonight, those who have joined us in the past. All right? It's generally assumed that the devil is evil and bad, and therefore, there's absolutely nothing he has to say that is productive or that can be offered to people who are considered to be good people or otherwise righteous. Don't say nothing to me, Duncan. Oh, but wait. There is indeed something useful that the enemy has to share. Perhaps this word is what is needed most desperately to turn things around, these negative circumstances that are consistent with the plight of many struggling in their lives all across America. So it's something the devil has to say. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, wait a minute, Doctor. The devil is the deceiver. He's a liar. Okay. All right. There's something you should listen to, though. Join me tonight in this discussion. There is a word from the devil. As we talk about some things that looking at the devil behavior, an example, may be useful to a lot of folks. Just might be useful. You're listening to Talk Straight. And again, our topic is, there is a word from the devil. The devil, yeah. The devil himself got a word for you. Follow me. I know that may shake some people, especially some of these religious folks, God-fearing folks. Some that say that they are staunch Christians. So forth. But there's a word from the devil. August 19th, 2021. Let's get into the monologue, and then we'll go to the phone line. Hear ye. There is a word from the devil. Job, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, the setting of the text is clear. There is apparently an ongoing dialogue between Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God, the creator of the universe, and the character we call Satan, the devil. And in this dialogue, there's conversation about an upright man, someone who arguably knew no wrong. And it sounds like that God himself is conspiring against this man with the devil. You ever felt like that? And no matter what you do, it seems like you just can't win. All kind of forces are working against you. Well, all right. Look what the text says. And the Lord said unto Satan, this is Job 2:2, from whence comest thou? Satan answered and said, Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Dialogue goes on. So the Lord said unto Satan, well, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? My God. He's a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil like you. Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. That's the part that leads me to believe they've been talking for a long time. The devil has been hitting God up for a long time about attacking Job. Let's see who the devil is. One for a second, Jim. All right. The devil is a personification of things bad, evil, and wrong. And evil is defined as some sort of profound immoral or wicked thing, action, state. Let's look at it this way. The devil is the accuser, a force for destruction, and he is said to be rightfully the father of lies. Boy, always lying. Always lying. Can't tell the truth. All right? When we think about certain aspects of particularly the urban American experience, such as education, the family that has been decimated, the economic condition and circumstances that prevent many from maintaining the quality of life they choose and desire, street violence that we see too often. What it tells us is there is a lesson to be learned as to how to turn certain things around. See, we got a problem. That tells us we have a problem, and there is some information needed to resolve the problem. Are you with me? Yeah, so that's where our topic is coming from. There is a word from the devil. Now, I don't want anybody to be offended, but I'm going to outline these problems in those four areas that I just made reference to. When I finish, I'm going to tell you what the devil has said for you. And they said, well, somebody may ask, Doctor, you're a preacher. Shouldn't you be talking about God? Shouldn't you be talking about what God said? Can I tell you something? It don't sound like even church folks real concerned about what God said, because they ain't doing that. Maybe if we can help them by the devil pointing some things out to get it right, then okay. All right. Now, I wish we could go by righteousness and what's in the word, but folk ain't doing that. I'm talking about church folk now, religious folk now. Somebody call in, 657-383-0944. Let me know. I don't want to be wrong. All right, here we go. When it comes to education, particularly our young brothers and sisters, African-American brothers and sisters, too often we see that when you compare them to their white counterparts, there is an imbalance there. They're less likely to have access to college readiness, being ready to not just go to college, but being able to stay there and not have to take a bunch of remedial courses because they're apt in the courses that they received in high school or secondary school. I'm reading that there are some states now that are suggesting that you shouldn't even hold them accountable for passing standardized tests in reading and math. Utterly amazing. Not too long ago, around 2011, it was identified that over 57% of blacks have access to a full range of math and science courses as a focus that are necessary to be ready to not only go to college, but to do well there, compared with 81% of our Asian American students and 71% of whites. Now, why do you bring the statistic there? Well, all I'm trying to say is there's something that we could be working on as parents, as people who are committed to the empowerment, uplifting, educating, the strengthening of our children. All right? Having said that, what happens too often in many schools, particularly in urban America, where our children are forced to go because they have no other option. Can I say that again? They're forced to go there because there is no other option too often. Certainly it seems that way. But consider this. In the schools, what is happening is young people are being kept ignorant and being deprived of real studies and growth and development in the mathematics. Things like economics, understanding law, and even having a full grasp of history on an age-appropriate level and beyond. They're disengaging their mind, you understand, with all kind of sabotage and foolishness and mental activities and things that really amount to nothing. Ain't going to work for nobody. That's a bunch of garbage, providing them a low quality of programming in these public schools, by and large. I'm speaking collectively now. And so when it comes to the prerequisite skills to doing math, having good logical processing, understanding system designs, and even relating that to economic circumstances, there's this discouraging drive and push. And again, I'm reading that in some places they are suggesting to young people, you don't really need that. It's okay for you to walk around without these things. Well, you're setting them up for failure. That's an education. Something to be learned from that. Let me keep it going. Let's talk about the family for a second. And the devil's going to tell you something. I got a message from the devil. There's a word from the devil. Look at the family. We have a problem, especially in the Afro-American family as a whole, not everybody as a whole, with absence of too many brothers. Talking to you now, brothers. I ain't getting on the sisters. Talking to you brothers right now. Listen to me. There is data. The U.S. Census Bureau suggests that somewhere about 19.7 million children, y'all hear me? That's more than one in every four, live in a household where there is no father under the roof with them. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. No father under the roof with them. What they're learning, what they're being exposed to because of the lack of a proactive voice of authority is unrelenting emotional affrontations. What do you mean, doctor? What do you mean? In other words, they're being exposed to mental and emotional rape by way of all kind of exposure to images of sex and violence and conflict on TVs, in social media, promoted by different games and what have you. That's what they're being exposed to. Nobody is controlling that. And you notice how they're not learning those other subjects that I told you that's going to help them compete universally? No father that sets that in place, giving them what their little minds and bodies think that they want because it makes them feel good right now. In other words, junk food for thought. Being deprived of things that they desperately need to be able to stand on their feet and not have to beg anybody for nothing as an adult. All right, let's look at the economics of things. Yeah. Now, according to the latest census, this is the community survey report. You can go check it out behind me. We're talking about the United States Census community survey reporting. This is what they put out regularly. When you look at the comparison among racial and ethnic groups, what it indicates is that African Americans had the highest poverty rates at around 27.4%. This may have changed since this last since this data that I collected, because we had a new census report not too long ago. But you compare that to Hispanics, there were roughly around 26.6, and whites 9.9. That's in terms of poverty. Now I realize that oftentimes this data can be misleading, depending on who's talking. But brothers and sisters, what I want you to know tonight is that everybody ain't lying on us. And we need to be honest with ourselves, because the devil got a message for you. I'm going to tell you what the devil said about it. Say it in just a minute. All right? Don't let nobody make no fool out of you. That's all I'm trying to say to you. I'm telling you that because I love you, because God gave me an authority to tell you that, because I love you. The general rule is that there is profit. Listen to me, beloved. There is money to be made when children's lives are in a confusing state and they grow up to be adults living confusing lives. People can make money off of them, make a fool out of them and make money off of them. The more confusion you get in neighborhoods and communities and streets and homes, the more you can make the best approach to putting anybody back in any kind of servitude or mental slavery is to keep them divided and conquered among confusion. Help me, Holy Ghost. And I'm not just talking about my white brothers and sisters that are making money off of the confusion that happens in homes, on streets, in neighborhoods, and communities. I'm talking about some of us make that money. That's where our job security comes from. And that's why we ought to have vested interests in our school systems and our social services and everywhere else and say, no, 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 we don't want that old 6 and 10 routine. We're going to change that. Going to change the laws, change the rules, everything else so that our children can win, they can prosper and be in. But we're going to talk about education, family, and economics. Let's talk about the street violence. Let's talk about the street violence. It's real. Too many young brothers, and now more sisters than ever before, as young teenagers and young adults, find themselves at risk for physical harm or violence. And I ask myself, well, what? Now, I grew up in the streets of Chicago, and we, you know, I've had some moments where I was throwing some knuckles with some people and what have you, and I even reflect on my own self. What the devil about it for you all doing? And what we're doing now. The only people who seem to be ready to fight, to kill, and to knock down is people that look like you. What you doing, man? What's going on? Right? Homicides, assaults, aggravated assaults. What's up with that? Now, where do we get this? Where do we learn that? See, you didn't learn how to read and write, but you learned how to tear yourself up and tear your brother up and tear them down. I remember we used to sit on the monkey bars outside the project doing what they call zoning on one another. All of us poor dogs, didn't have nothing. We're in the project. See? You understand? Toe up clothes, raggedy shoes, you had Dunlaps. Because the bottom Dunlapped over on you. You understand what I'm saying? So what is this? Where you get this going after one another? Well, let me tell you where it comes from. Let me explain to you where it comes from. There are people who put money into the media and things that they know you thrive and eat off and look for. And they create and conjure these images. And if that's all you got 24 hours a day, a bunch of foolishness and confusion that keep you behind backwards in everything you say and do, guess what happens? You divert your attention away from the real issues relative to building character and having a good, strong social orientation and proactive training, right? You take your attention away from things that really matter, that are important, such as those skill sets I was telling you about. But yet you supplace that, or you supplant things that cause you to engage in your emotions all the time, right? And self-indulgence, no discipline, no delayed gratification. I got to have it right now, and I want all of it right now. That's that addictive mentality. You're not necessarily addicted to drugs, just this idea of gluttonous, over access. Are y'all walking with me? And even sometimes, we don't even want to have enough discipline to keep our physical temper in shape. Our diet, our exercise. Come on, talk to me now. Some people are even suggesting to us that we rewrite our own history and blind our eyes to the truth. See, law and order didn't just start in America. It began in ancient Nubian empires across the waters. We long been accustomed to being in order, following some sort of precept of law and guidance. How the devil do we get to the point where so many of us, not everybody, too many of us, are opposed to law and order and discipline? That's the one thing that's going to keep you from shooting and killing one another. And everybody govern themselves accordingly. And we can have peace and harmony among us. All right, doctor, get to it. What does the devil say? Now, I asked my friend, Screaming Jay Hawkins, to help me intimate this point. So he's gonna come and talk to y'all. Let me finish this out. The word from the devil tonight on August 19, 2021 is threefold. He says, quote, "The only way I'm able to destroy lives is when the good does nothing and allow my evil to continue." Goes on to say that when good people or you lack self-determination to resist things that are evil, that are bad, and you allow them to persist, I can do what I want to you. He says, when you are not persistent in your pursuit of righteousness, I can control you and I can put you against one another and I can manipulate all of y'all. I can divide you and conquer. And he says that when you don't always look out, be vigilant. Huh? And I'm always the only one that you desire to follow. My tricks and my deceits, you keep up with them, right? I can capture you and have you eating out my hand. So said the devil, this word from the devil tonight. Howlin', what you say, man? Right quickly. You're listening to Talk Straight. 657-383 is the number to call, 383-0944. That's 657-383. 094. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. There is a word from the devil.
Because of mine. Stop the things you do.
Stop it. Get in here. Well, you fit in here. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Right here in the studio. Let's talk. That is a word from the devil. I got caller from 0946. Looks like Virginia. And my brother out of Selma, Alabama. I think that's Brother Dunn, 4992. None of y'all scared, are you? Either y'all scared tonight? Welcome to Talk Straight. I'm sorry. Come on, get back with me. Hey, Don, where you at, man?
I just called from up there in Tennessee, Mr. Docker, and they told me what's going on in Dixon County.
Okay.
I'm told that there's a bunch of houses built up there, you know, because 840 is coming through.
Okay.
The tobacco's not grown up there no more. My cousin said he had some green beans and some vegetables this year. And he said, you know what he told me, Mr. Docker? Y'all won't even come pick the beans.
What?
He said, cuz, I'm trying to give away the food. They still won't get it.
Tell them I said bring them over here to me. I eat them. Well, okay. All right. Can you appreciate, Don, what I'm trying to intimate here in terms of the enemy knows that when I am not on my game, he can get over on me.
That's true what you're saying.
You understand? Now, we always point the finger at somebody else to say what they didn't do and what they won't give us and they won't. The devil with they, man. What about you? What you going to do for yourself? When you going to do it for yourself? Because obviously what the devil is saying, I don't really care about nothing but manipulating you, man. So why are you looking for the devil to do right? Do it yourself. Is that right, 0946? Welcome to Talk Straight. We have a conversation, that's all.
I came on, and I was walking around while I was listening to you, so I missed a little bit of it. But
okay.
I understand. I think I understand where you're coming from as far as are you basically saying our lack of participation with the issue is causing a lot of problems?
Yes, ma'am. We're not doing all, and I would argue, enough of what we need to do to prevent becoming victims of poor school, or poor education for our children. Our families being
right.
decimated, down and messed up, right? Our economic situation being all tore up from the floor. You understand? And this
mm-hmm.
whole thing about right. you always have... We could do better than that. We can do better than that. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, the old saying is you can't give what you don't possess.
Mm.
And so there was a time that education in our culture was valued.
Absolutely.
It was valued. Teachers were respected. You talked about authority.
Right.
There was it didn't matter what your socioeconomics were. In the black community, there were some values that we used to have in the community that
right.
are simply especially in, and I can't say especially because I don't know that, but I do know in urban culture, there's a lot of anti-everything, anti-education, anti-authority, anti-conformity, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I can do what I want to. And part of socialization is a bit of conforming. You could be a nonconformist, but there is some in the socialization process of a sane society, there has to be a level of conformity. Well, you've got, there's so much anti this and anti that,
right.
there's no, the glue that holds it together. So when the kid, I was doing some research and just looking at urban parental involvement, and basically they're saying, well, the teachers need to figure out how to engage the parents. It's kind of like, is that not backwards? I got to figure out as a teacher how to make you want to be more involved in your child's process of education. That was something that was already instilled in children and parents when their children used to get to school. So now how to get that back, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so let me say this. If someone is listening to us right now and perhaps is feeling like, well, maybe y'all stepping on my toes, okay? What I want you to know is that the purpose of the conversation is for us to look at how to overcome something. My sister said something heavy right here. What she said is, whoever you are, when you're so involved in being against everything and you can't articulate what the devil you're for, you're lost. You're lost. You're just swinging at the air. And that sounds like someone that is of an unhealthy mind. Okay, you're against this. You're anti this. What are you for? Are you for your own self? And what is it going to take to take care of you? You see what I mean? And so you said that was heavy. I made note of that. I made note of that. Because that's and I think sometimes, Don and my sister, this is my observation. Individuals of a certain generation who had it rough and missed the opportunity to turn things around for themselves, it seems to me that they are engaging in encouraging young people to take on that fight that they lost 30, 40, yeah. 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Such that the babies are not focused on what they need to be to develop themselves in the future, because somebody's constantly pushing them and filling their heads with things that's 40, 50 years old. You lost that battle, and you'll never be able to go back and be young again. Why would you set the young up to fail? Can somebody help me with that?
Well, I think that parents are now living vicariously through the children. So all the stuff didn't like about their parents and what they had to put up with and all that kind of stuff, they're now feeding that to the kids. But the sad part about it is that the kid grows up without any foundation. It's kind of like, you can act a fool and maybe make some wrong turns in life and mess up a lot of things, but you did have something implanted in you that when you did decide to get it together, you did have some tools to use to go the way that you now want to go. And so, you know, you can't control people. People are going to live their lives. But, you know, they used to tell us, you know, you're in bad shape when you don't know the difference between right and wrong. It's one thing to be out here, know you're doing wrong, know this is not a good decision, and you know this. You're not confused about it. But when you get to the point that you don't know the difference between right and wrong, that's a pretty bad place to be, because you don't have any foundation by which to, if you decide you want to change your life, you have no guidance or any template to go by.
Well, here's the thing. I hear people talk about America, and they rehash a lot of truths about bad things America was involved in, okay? And pray tell, they're involved with some of those things around the world. But watch this. If you had to pack your two little bags with whatever rags you got and go somewhere else, where's it going to be? And you get to do whatever you want to do. Somebody explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. Don, help me with that, bro. Where you going to go when you don't like where you are and you're ready to set it on fire? Then you're
going to
be outside sleeping. What about that, Don?
Well, Mr. Doctor, I'm going to tell you exactly what I see with the educational process, especially with our people. And I'm sick of these Negro, Blacks, and Colors going to these universities, coming back in Greek fraternities, trying to teach our children. I went to school this week over with Justin. A bunch of females. I'm sitting there looking. You want to be A.K. Wright, right? Mm-mm. Sad. Shouldn't even be in the school system teaching. Sad, man. I went over and it was really sad. And then when I told the lady, I said, guess what? No, Justin don't put no round bowl like he got her. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a female. Then she got to look crazy.
Every last one of them.
I hope all of them hear me. You're Jesse Jackson brainwashed. It's sad, man. I walked up there to school and I'm looking at my sisters. It's sad. wasn't a man up there, all the sisters in the school system. I'm just sitting there looking. I'm just like, what? Our boys are in trouble. Real trouble.
Yeah. Let me say this, though.
I mean, it's sad, man. It's real sad.
I hear what you're saying. I caught what you said loud and clear. And I was a little disturbed because it sounded like I was hearing you say that they were intentionally encouraging him to dress like a female. Is that what I was hearing you say?
Thank you,
with
dog. You got it. It's sad.
Wow.
And it started with one individual, my dad trained, and he Jesse Jackson. I'm going to keep saying it.
Oh, all right.
He the one put it on the floor, let him float that boat, and them sister falling. And why would you try to tell me to be a woman? I don't get that. What? You're a woman. I can't be you.
I love women.
I don't get it. I really don't get them. I don't get them.
Done.
Help me out, Mr. Doctor.
I'm trying to. Woman was one of the best pieces of creation God made. I love woman. I ain't nothing wrong with that. But now, because I love her, don't mean I have to stop being a man now. So, but, yeah, well, here's the point.
But some of them done stop being men. Ms. Doctor, right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm outside. Do you know why? I caught the woman husband going with a little boy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
She got upset because I found out. Her husband, like little boy.
Well, now, I don't want to, Don, what I don't want to do
it's
is...
It's sad, Mr.
Doctor.
It is real sad what's going on in this country right now. And look, I ain't blaming Europeans no more. I'm coming to the sister. Why do you get off in your mind thinking that we should have a vagina and God gave us a penis? I don't get it. Help me out with it.
I don't believe all sisters believe that, okay? First of all,
what do you mean you don't believe this doctor is going on?
Well, wait a minute now.
It's going on right now.
Hey, I know some sisters, and that's not their mindset. Not them.
That's not their what? My cousin Derek said a while ago, right there in Dixon County, the Mexicans are doing all the building.
Hold on, big brother. All I'm saying to you is that it's not fair to paint everybody with that brush, okay, because there are some sisters I know personally who don't think like that. And we have a sister home, and I don't want, you know, I can't
hold
speak
on, Mr.
Her.
Doctor, the young men can't even build. So where did that come from?
Well, that's another issue. But I'm not blaming sisters for that. That's a whole other issue. I blame brothers for that. That's who I blame for that, brothers.
Well, then if we get into the issue of you talking about blaming brothers, then we're going to have to kill our European male counterpart. Because guess what? He all over in your cooking with the sister.
Well, hold on one second. Watch this, though. I want you to follow me for a second. I hear what you're saying, but I want you to follow me for a second. Now, here's the thing, though. Remember I talked about pointing the finger blame everybody else for what they won't do and what they did? Well, you are in control of you. And if you are a father of children and you create a place, an environment, a home for you and your children and their mother to live, you control that, regardless of what anybody else thinks or what they do outside of that. And that's what you embed in your babies. See what I mean?
You can't even do that in America.
Yes, you
but these European males, no, sir. Mr. Doctor, let's be real.
Man,
you really? Why you think they running them out of Afghanistan now?
Big brother.
They ain't about to have on, Doc. No, sir.
Tell you what I know. Well, let me give my sister an opportunity to respond. But I'm saying, Don, it can be done. I've done it myself. I can tell you from personal experience.
Mr. Darker, I was just told right there in Middle Tennessee from Jickenail's son, he said right now in Dixon County, the Mexicans are bricking and building houses. None of our men. Our men are drunk.
Disagree.
He just told me that. Me and him just got through talking. Now, somewhere it done broke down right there. Why? I had to break down.
Big brother, not all of us are drunk. Not all of us are out of our minds. That's not
true. Well, who's doing the building there in Middle Tennessee?
Well, some people may not be doing building, but I can't tell you. You want me to call their names? I can't tell you who it is. But I happen to know that there are a number of construction companies that engage in those type of things that are African-American or black.
But we ain't running them there in Nashville, Mr. Doctor. We don't run those constructions. And listen, Mr. Doctor, I'm going to say this to you. Now, you're a minister, and I'm listening. Right. I give you all due respect.
Thank you, sir.
Jesus was a carpenter. You know that. I mean, Jesus' father, Joseph, was a carpenter. And he taught Jesus. Jesus would never know how to be a carpenter unless he learned from his dad.
You're talking to the choir, big brother. You're talking to the choir. I hear you. Hold on for a second, Don. Let me not be rude. Let me allow my sister to weigh in on the conversation. And then we're joined by 4600 out of St. Louis. Go ahead, my sister. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to talk over you there. Did you have something you want to contribute to that dialogue? 0946, I'm speaking to you specifically. Okay, just come on, get in where you fit in. No big deal. When you feel free to join. So, St. Louis, welcome. We're talking from the topic, there's a word from the devil. And let me repeat what the devil said. Let me repeat what the devil has said in our conversation. All right? And what the devil has said is the only way that I'm able to destroy lives is when good people stand by and do nothing. We got somebody's background there. He goes on to say that when people lack determination, self-determination, to resist what is wrong, I can make a fool out of you. When people are not persistent in their pursuit of what they believe is right, he can come in and make a fool out of you. When you're always open and vulnerable, right, to desires of things that don't matter, that's going to hurt you, I can come right in and make a fool out of you. That's where our conversation is germane to. I talked about that in reference to education, the violence that we see, to the breakdown of the family, and the fact that that's on us to take care of that. And the devil will have no power or authority if we were on top of our game. Any questions coming on that?
Well, let me tell you something about that devil. That devil is wearing a blue dress. And Don, some of these black men out here today is just as sweet and tender as you want to be.
Oh, wait a minute.
You better tell it.
And they switch.
Wait a minute.
And you better tell it. And they learned it from the female. She taught him that. Because the father wasn't there and she taught him how to be her. And some men don't want to accept that, but that's what's going on.
Big brother, gentlemen, let's keep this in focus here. So you all made a point. And St. Louis has said that there are some men. Did I hear you say that correctly, St. Louis?
There are some men out here just as sweet and tender as you want, and they switch.
Okay.
Wear a blue dress.
They don't wear red dresses. They don't wear
blue dress.
Purple dresses. White dresses. Okay. I'm going to leave that right where it is. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. That these things that are germane to within the context of building and developing the character of our young people so we can be competitive internationally as well as here at home, they're a distraction. That's in a nutshell, they're a distraction. Now, we can point blame on men, we can put it on women, we can put it on the government, on the white man, we can put it wherever we want to, but at the end of the day, we have, as a responsible adult, we have a responsibility. We have a duty to ensure that our children grow up to be healthy and whole. What can we do in 2021? This is August 19th, 2020. What is it that we can do that we have not done? I was just talking to somebody's phone. We're getting your feedback. Take care of that, brother, please. I was talking to my sister about the fact that too often what happens is people of a certain generation who missed their opportunity to fix their problems and things that they went through are vicariously trying to live that through another generation now. And they're misguiding our babies. And that's where this anti-everything comes from, I believe. But you can't articulate what you're for. What is it that you're about? What productive can you offer yourself, society, your community, your neighborhood? You see what I mean? And if we can get to those kind of conversations and not be mad at every little, it's an affront again to humanity to always be in conflict and mad at something and ready to fight. And you understand what I'm saying? Okay, if doctor is wrong, I messed up. All right, I raised my hand. Forgive me, please. Let's get it better. Because if I don't, I may be in the way of some young person who need my example, or, you know, who might be led astray by me providing a deleterious influence for them. Anybody want to come into that?
Mr. Darker, do you know who I was with this evening?
I do not.
I'm 61. I was with an 18-year-old here in the library. She was a female.
A female. 18-year-old.
We were dialogue. And there wasn't no older European. She was a young sister. And I was dialoguing with her. And we were discussing certain information that's kept back from our young folks, even right here at the library.
Okay.
I told her, I said, yeah, these elements are here, but this is where the information is. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
I'm 61, Mr. Duncan. I ain't 30 or 40 no more. You can't pull the wool on my eyes no more.
Understood.
I'm going to say it again. Our young men need some brothers to teach them how to frame, lay bricks, teach them how to. That's how I learned. My mama didn't teach me that. Uncle Son and Granddad and them taught me that.
Got it. Now.
That's what our young men need, men.
May I challenge you for a second, Don?
Go ahead.
May I challenge you? All right.
Go ahead.
What is it that, with your knowledge base, what is it that you can do to move toward that training being facilitated? What do you think you can do? Now, I know you have a lot of ideas, and we've heard you passionately share. But what is it that you and I, or you, let's start with you right now. You understand? Understand? It's your idea. You put it on the floor. What is it that I heard you saying that you're having wholesome dialogue with a young lady, but you said young men need to learn how to do. What can you do, Don, that can start us getting there?
Just like I said, Mr. Darker, you have to take the next generation of young men that's 16, 15, 13. You got to take them out there and teach them how to break ground, how to dish ground, how to plant ground, what kind of fertilizer to use, what kind of seeds to use. You got to show them how to build. Your European, your Spanish brother counterparts is not going to teach your young males. You might as well get that out of your head. And the only thing we're teaching our young men today is to run drugs. That's all we're teaching our young men.
So
it's all going on out here. Just that simple.
Big brother, if you don't do it where you are, who's going to do it? Is there anyone else that will
pick up? That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, Mr. Doctor.
I'm asking you. Now, if you pose a question to me, sir, I would honestly tell you that for the last few years, it seems like it's an uphill battle, but we've been doing what we could on the smallest level with the hopes that it'll materialize and grow itself. You see what I'm saying, Don? So I'm not suggesting that it's going to happen overnight, but one of the things we can't do is allow our emotions, I'm talking about me now, Don, allow my emotions to get in the way of rational thought and action that would be productive. And that happens a lot. You know, there are a lot of people who are full, man. They want to see change, St. Louis. They want to see things get better. And they sick and tired of seeing the same thing, right? But if we're not careful, we'll allow our emotions to get in the way of our best and ideas. What do you think about that, St. Louis? Does that make any sense to you? You're a gentleman that's been around a little while.
I don't heard that for decades.
You heard a long time. Okay. Has anybody applied that? Has anybody used that, took advantage of that? You know what I mean, St. Louis? Have you seen anybody?
No, but like I said, I've heard that for decades. People still talking that same old stuff. You got a guy out there by the name of Umar Johnson talking that stuff. Mm-hmm. Them guys ain't going to go no place. They're just going to talk.
Umar
They're
Johnson ain't
talk.
Been in the field a day in his life, and ain't probably picked up a nail or two before in his day of his life. Take him out there right now and say, hey, man, let's frame a house. He probably couldn't frame one. Take him out there right now and put some diesel in the international track, put the turn plow on, and say, man, go down through the middle field and break a bitch can't even break it.
Okay. All right. Now, but isn't there some place for Umar Johnson in the grand scheme of things, though, to get it right?
Nope.
None? There's no use for him at
all?
Wow. Well, Go ahead, Sandra.
Unless you want to start eating your macaroni and peas with a shovel.
No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Well, now, so you guys got me in a position now where I have to ask the question. Okay. So that kind of goes back to that 6x6 rooms that y'all used to hear me talk a lot about. And the whole point of that is you got everybody got great and grand ideas. I'm going to start with myself. I'm putting me in there. But yet, when it comes to coming together, and if you're going to have any kind of fight in that room and don't come out until you all on one accord. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Don, you want to do building. You want to do building. You want to do farming. I heard St. Louis talk about building skills in the sciences, engineers, things of that nature. I think all that is good, brother. All that's good. Y'all hear me talk about a generalized school, instructional environment. Okay. I'm like you, St. Louis. I'm tired of talking. And I ask myself, what the devil can I do moving toward that? You know? And I'm hoping it don't take me too long before I leave and go to the other side so I can see some of the fruits of my labor. But it's not a one-man job, gentlemen. It's not a one-man job. This is something that is a collective thing, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. What are we going
to
say?
It's time out for talking. It's time to start whooping some heads.
Okay. Get some things done, huh? Make some things happen. I feel you on that now. I'm with you on that. No more talking. No more talking. Because Talking is over. Done? You ready to work?
That's the only thing that can be done, Mr. Doctor. My cousin told me a while ago he's getting ready to plant about 100 head of cabbage. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of shocked me when he said, Don, I didn't raise no backer this year. I went truck packing. It kind of shocked me to hear him say that. And then he said, Don, after I raised all this food, they still don't want to come get it. They don't want it. That's right there where you at, Mr. Doc. And so guess what, Mr. Doc? I experienced the same thing in Ohio when we grow food up there. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can pick the food and bring it to the church, and guess what? They still won't pick it up to even go home to feed themselves.
Oh, no. So you know what they want? They want to walk out to the field with a plate and a fork. That's what they want.
Well, now, so, gentlemen, here's the thing. You know how drug dealers go to the street and they serve their customers, and that's an interesting thing, isn't it? What about, Don, can you imagine what would happen if you took what you knew, I took what I knew, that little somebody, and we had partnered where they were going out distributing fresh fruits and vegetables like they do on the street, serving them up? How about that? That's one way we can take a skill set that we know they have, right? We can tap into it, and we can make it productive. We know they have distribution skills. We know they have some yes, sir? Go ahead.
Mr. Doctor, yes, I know you probably – I'm down here at the library up under the roof. It's raining, you know, traffic coming through. But right now, as me and you speak, Mr. Doctor, your brotherhood is having a picnic in Charlotte, Tennessee, on top of the hill.
My brother.
Now, at that picnic, the Prince Hall brothers, they up there barbecuing the hall. They got barbecue chickens everywhere. And there's a few brothers around there got some crack. And my cousin said they got some heroin now. They got some meth now. They got beer and alcohol in the stores above where that lodge building at. You see what I'm saying?
So what does that have to do
right
with
now, me? Right now, as we're being you talk, this is going on right now.
Okay, but what you want me to do about that? That's what I'm asking you. To see, I can't.
That's
what
I was saying, Mr. Doctor. When is the brothers that say they're on the square really teach young brothers how to really use the square and build it?
Whoever, I don't know them brothers, Don, that you're talking about. First of all, let me establish that. And if they ask me, I would tell them that whatever negative behavior accountable, I don't condone that. I wouldn't engage in that with them. So I'm going to disassociate myself with that. Now, but let's bring this back to our conversation about how we can overcome the devil's position, manipulating and continuing the spiral that we're seeing academically, socially, and even spiritually. That's what that's because see what I can't
well,
do is
you know
forever.
What I'd like to
come
say
on.
Is that you can't help people that you don't like. You know, you can if you go into a dysfunctional system and you dislike the people that are dysfunctional, even though you may be right, you don't possess any power to influence them. You can't you can't go in and criticize people and talk down to them and tell them how they're all bad. You're never going to reach them. One of the things about leadership is the ability to influence. So there's an old saying that says that he that is leading and no one is following is only taking a walk. So you may have the right information, but if you talk down to people and people are instinctual and you don't like them, even if what you're saying is right, they're not going to listen. The reason why hip-hop people have such an influence with our young people is because they don't judge them. That we doesn't mean that we don't have to have a standard for them and say, hey, here's a better way, but you can't walk into a place that's riveted by drugs and then talk about the drug dealers like a dog. It ain't going to work.
Not without getting your head cut. That's right. They'll shoot you and whip
you
behind.
It's not going to work. It doesn't mean that I condone drug dealers.
Okay.
But if I don't come in with saying, okay, yet there by the grace of God, that could be me, and I'm not really interested in you, and say, hey, man, how you ended up doing this? What made you choose this way of life? How you ended up here? Have you ever thought about doing – if I don't truly care about you and then I don't even like you, I can't influence anybody. You just can't.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. You can't come talking crazy to people and expect them to trust and rely on what you're talking about. Because you have to pose yourself as an enemy to them, basically, or someone that is simply just there to put them down. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing you say. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you can't, even though they're just as wrong as two left shoes, if you care enough about them and you're not just talking about them, and just saying, you know, they're just gone to hell in a handbasket. You know, if you want to do something about it, if you don't want to do something about it and all you want to do is just complain about it and talk about it, then that's an option too. But if you say, if you want to be a part of the change, if you want to be a part of helping people make new decisions or helping people do something, then you have to really like the people to be able to do that. I don't think you can work with people and help them change when you deep down don't like who they are. Like I heard the brother, you know, and I agree with him. I mean, you know, so say for instance you run into this kid, he is a boy and he's switching and he got a dress on and you're thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. But you don't care enough about him because he's just a child. He made all those decisions on his own, and you don't care enough about him to say, hey, man, you know, have you ever thought about building a house? Have you thought? And he come in his dress with his hammer, and you tell him, well, no, you can't build a house because you still got on the dress. Well, you're not going to make any impact with that.
Okay.
If you really want to get to know the child and his family, you're going to meet people where they are and then take them from point A to point B. You can't walk up to people at point A and say, hey, you know, your problem is you're not at point C or you're not at point D, you're not point C. You're not going to be able to want to reach them. And so I think what I hear is almost like a disdain and a disgust for the very people that we say that we should be caring about and love. And respect, because respect is something that I can give to you. I don't care who you are. Because I respect myself, I can respect you as a human being. I don't have to like what you wear. I don't have to like what you say. I don't have to like where you go. I don't have to like what you do. But I can step to you and look in your face and not be disgusted with you and say, you are a human being that God made, and then I'm going to meet you respect. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to talk respectful to you. I'm going to meet you with a level of understanding. And if you can't do that, then we have no chance of changing or impacting anything, because they got people on the other side saying, hey, man, I understand why you slanging drugs. I understand mm-hmm. why you doing that. I understand. I get it. You know, I ain't got no problem with you, man. Everybody got to do what they got to do. And
right.
that's who
true.
They're going to listen to, and that's who they're going to respect.
So and let me tell you something. And Mr. Doc, hold on right there. And then you're going to hell and die.
What do you mean
you're
going to hell and die?
You didn't comprehend what you were saying, sister. Then you're going to hell, and then you're going to die.
What
it's
do you
just
mean
that simple.
What do you mean by that? Explain.
See, I know that Northern talk. Listen here, Mr. Doc. I was talking to Shalee a while ago, my Eka's daughter. My dad met her right over there in Jewtown. You know what I hear from Shalee? My Eka. And guess what I'm going to tell you? Give it a year's time. I'm 61. I'm be walking right behind a great, right behind.
So Don, this is what you
when my granddaddy and them talked to me, they talked to me like a man. They showed me like a man.
How do you do that? How do you?
This is how I'm making a road, son. This is how I'm making a road.
Okay.
They
okay.
showed.
So you said
what
mom,
you talk?
You said they. Hold on, Don. So you said they mom. Now you understand? Do you understand that in Selma? There are some young men with weapons that you ain't about to just tell them, look at me and what I'm doing. Do like I tell you. Do you realize it don't work like that in 2021?
And look here, and Mr. Doctor, and then guess what, Mr. Doctor? Then you going to hell. You
okay,
can go out there with a weapon.
First,
you
though.
Go out there and kill
look
it.
Me,
but guess where you going?
Hey, look,
you're going to
look,
jail or hell.
Guess
you got to make up in your mind that you don't want to go to jail or hell. You got to make up in your mind that you want to build. You want to grow stuff. You got to make up in your mind. That's a decision.
I get that. But
that's
what I'm
saying is, ain't nobody force you to do that. You know,
right.
ain't no spook God going to make you do that. You got to put
Don.
Discipline on yourself
Don.
And do that.
Done. I have pointed out some very bad negative behaviors.
Mr. Dockery, you ain't been to the field with me. You're talking. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. Reverend Belvin didn't talk. Me and him worked together.
Well, Reverend Bevel's not.
You didn't talk. We work together.
I am, and you are. Now, and I know you're not questioning what I do, because my record precedes itself, my brother. But what I'm trying to say.
Mine do, too. I'm going to tell you what I did. See the World Baptist
fine.
Center setting up, right?
Well, today is August 19th, 2021. Those young men in Selma, Don, how can they benefit from what you've done in 91?
Only thing you can do is how they benefit. They got to see you advancing. You can't
not
talk
you,
it.
Not
you got to show it and walk. I can't talk
are
that.
Are you in South?
I got to
hey,
show
it. You in Selma right now, right? You in Selma, Alabama.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
okay.
right. And
give
Mr. Doctor, and on my way to
hold
Tennessee,
on. Hold on,
guess
hold
what? Because guess what I see in Selma? I'm going to tell you what I see in Selma. A bunch of homosexual males and a bunch of lesbian females that don't
not
care
right
nothing
there.
About your children. All they care about
not
is
right.
getting grant money and checks.
Okay,
that's what I
on,
see.
Don.
And
stop
so
right
since
there.
It's like
stop
that, I'll proceed on.
Hold on, big brother. Stop right there, because that's where I want you to be. Because I see things where I am here in Nashville, Tennessee, okay? And every day, in the best way I could, I'm working toward addressing those things holistically, okay? And so, but where you are and what you're saying, we're not going to say you're wrong, but the problem is what we can't see is how you can help make it right. Because you say homosexual males and lesbian females. Okay.
There's no brother that want to work. You see, in order to work, Mr. Dockery, you got to have a brother that agree with you and want to work. When I worked on Organo Farms and L.G. Richardson showed up, he agreed to work together. Gary Martin agreed. Marcellus
right.
Brooke agreed. So you got to make a decision that that's what you want to do.
So here's what I'm hearing you say, that you have something to offer, but you won't be able to give it because they won't receive it. Is that what I'm hearing?
They don't want that, Mr. Dockery. The young men today, like you just said,
what
I can go to them right this end of the day. I say, man, let's go grow some food. You know what they're going to do? They're going to roll up on my blunt, put the reefer in it, break a can of beer, and they're going to proceed.
Why do you think they do that?
That's what the generation before just showed them. The generation before them did not plant the seed of showing them how to be determined and love life. Somebody showed them just that. And so now they stuck there. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? Trying to get people out of that way of thinking and that mold of way of curing stuff out, man, you'll kill yourself trying to get them out.
So can I?
So the best thing you can do is proceed on, and guess what? Do what you do best.
Big brother.
Because you ain't going to force nobody to do nothing.
I want you to listen. I'm listening to you, man, but I want you to listen to me for a second, okay? Because I hear what you're saying. I hear the points that you're making, but I want you to listen to me. And I'm hearing some positive things, Don, that can be very useful. And if I might, let me offer for your consideration. I'm not asking you to accept it, but for the listening audience consideration. Okay. We see that there's a problem, and we know that there are challenges to changing certain behaviors. But one of the approach or the tacks that I have personally taken, Don, recognizing that, no, I'm not going to walk up on anybody and make them put anything down. That's not about to happen. Probably the first thing that'll go down is me. Okay? So what I've asked myself is, how can we create first the environment to foster the concepts, the ideas, the behaviors, and to incentivize one to be in that environment? How can we create that? And maybe not all of them at one time, but one at a time. Expose them to that in a loving way, Don. Not in a condescending or damning way, or a way that make them feel like they beneath the dirt. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to create that. You have to build that. And that's all I'm saying. When I ask you, I wasn't just talking about you personally. I'm speaking in general. Anybody that said that they want to be a change maker, they want to be an advocate for those proactive things, that's what we mean by doing more than talking. And oftentimes, what I have found, Big Brother and my sister, is that there are some people who are working hard to prevent that from happening because they make money off of it. It ain't just white people. It's some black people don't want to see that happen because they're making money off of that.
That's what I was telling you, Mr. Doctor. That's what's in Selma. The individuals that are here getting them grant money, they don't want that.
Okay.
They don't want to teach the children to build. They getting paid not to do that. That's what I'm saying to you right now.
However,
some of
necessary.
The,
go ahead, Sandy.
And
some
guess
of the
what?
Biggest,
and the federal government don't care, and they letting them do that, so you can be self-destructive. So the best thing you can do, Mr. Doctor, like you said, as an individual, move yourself from that environment. Go develop that for yourself so you can stand up and build for yourself. Then they'll see you doing positive. Then they will join you doing. But guess what? You ain't going to come in this environment right now. Because guess what? The top dollars that's being spent in Selma right now is for self-destruction. And you know what? I got to be honest with you, Mr. Doctor. I'm being honest to my heart. You know what? Selma going to get a whooping. I'm getting out of the way. I'm not going to be here when God gets the whooping. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
They know that they went up there and took that money from Trump. They know they went out and took the money. I'm not getting in God's way. See, when you get in the good Lord's way, you'll get whooped. So the best thing you need to do is get out of his way because he's getting ready to whoop.
Hold on. Let's not be rude to everybody else. We got other people. Let me hear from St. Louis. He was trying to weigh in. What were you saying, St. Louis?
Some of the biggest races you want to ever see is black.
Okay.
It ain't a few.
Okay.
So you looking for the wrong people while the other ones are backstabbing you.
Okay. And guess what? I have seen that materialize itself as well. But here's what's most important. We have to move beyond that too, don't we, St. Louis? And to get done what we need to get done. Sometimes we just have to, we may wind up having to carry the whole load yourself. For a minute anyway, until you train and you get encouraged and you f- foster the type of support. I'm convinced of this, gentlemen. The population that oftentimes is castigated from society, that is said to be the boogeymen and the worst of the worst, with the right guidance and the right influence, they can be your greatest resource for change. But if we are afraid or we are too abrasive, we'll run them off as well. See what I mean? So it's about your tax. And it's not what you do oftentimes as it is how you do it. I'm convinced that even drug addicts and alcoholics want the best for their children, even if they don't know how to give it. People that are not very well learned and literate, they want the best for their children, even if they don't know how to provide it. So if I say that I'm concerned about them and I don't position myself to take that into account, guess what? You know, I'm more harmed than I'm good. That's all I'm trying to say, Don, is that it's not so much, again, the words we say or the fact that we're who we are and we've done what we've done, as it is about understanding how to connect and how to motivate the change. You can't make people change, but they can change themselves. But what you can do is have an influence, a positive influence, that can inform and encourage the change that we're talking about. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And what the enemy does, Don, is he placates off of that. He knows that there's a fight. Good people, that's what I mean by when good people stand by and let evil prevail. If we don't know what, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not equipped, it's best that you just go and get out the way. And I'm going to tell you, I've been a pastor for almost 27 years. There's a lot of people who stand in pulpits and in position of influence. They want folks to listen to them, and they're really not ready. They're more of a hindrance to problems than they are good. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Doc, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yes, sir.
We same brothers that came from Organo Farms, went to Illinois, worked on a farm. Yes, a Yehuda. Them did what they done. That's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes, you know, Mr. Darkness, you just have to get out of the way. That's all, and that's what I'm getting ready to do. I'm not going to drown myself in Selma for some folk that's hustling grant money, you understand,
okay,
stealing grant money, and doing whatever they doing with the grant money. I'm getting out of your way. You understand?
I
love you. I respect you, but it's time for Big Daddy to step in. I'm getting out of the way, Mr. Doctor, because you know why? I'm not going to ground myself in none of these folks. I'm not going to sacrifice myself in none. I see my daddy do it. Damn if I do it. You don't want to get up in the morning time? I'd be up in Selma at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't see none of them. So why should I give a fuck? They don't give a fuck. I get up 5 o'clock. Ain't none of them up. So what you talking about? They agreed to stay in the bed at 5 o'clock. They ain't made a decision in their heart to get up. You can't make nobody get up. That's a decision you make in your own mind. They don't get up.
True.
So my position is, you don't get up, I'm going to get up, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to let God whoop that butt. That's what time it is, Mr. Dockery. That's exactly what time it is. I'll see you later. I got to move on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me respond to your question, though, about those who don't want to get up. Okay. And those who are lazy, the way you describe the lazy tribe, it helps, Don, to understand how that conditioning came about. And I would argue, as a social scientist, that that's a matter of social engineering. And you heard me talk about the ghetto trap syndrome, right? That's a matter of social engineering. And understanding how that comes is important because you know what you need to do to reverse. That's a delicate thing. Maybe you have to walk away for a minute, Don. Maybe they're not ready today, but you go and get your game plan, your strategy together so that you'll know
Mr.
how.
Mr. Doc, I'm walking away because God's getting ready to come in. That means I'm walking away. I see it.
But here's the thing, then. Maybe you're not ready, Don, to be at the forefront, to be a leader.
No, I ain't going to bother that. It's time for Big Daddy. Mr. Doc, I seen that tornado Terry court out down in Carson because I know what they did. Guess what? Tornado getting ready to whoop Selma. Because guess what? Some of these went and got the money. They know they went and got that money to mess that money up. Now guess what? Now it's time for you to move out of the way and let Daddy do the whooping. Because when you took that money for was what? To develop them children. You took the money and used it for your own personal use. You know exactly what you were doing. You know what your motive was. You know what your intent was. See?
All right.
You know what you're doing. You're like me right now. Guess what? I can get up in the morning, get myself together, develop myself, make me some resources to move on. Or else I can just later. That's a decision. Some people ain't made the decision, Mr. Dockery, to stop doing what they're doing. And you can't make them stop. Only thing you can do is get up and show them.
You can't make them, but you can model. You can model for them.
That's all you can do.
See, let's understand what discipline is. When we talk about discipline, we talk about teaching through model. Now the question is that I have to ask myself is what are they seeing from me? Are they seeing my actions different than my words? Or are they seeing consistency in what I say and what I do? You understand? A lot of times, there's a phrase on the street, game, no gain. These young cats ain't stupid as some people think they are. They can see when you're real and when you're not real. They can tell when you got what you're able to materialize, the things you talk about, and when you can't. And in their mind, you're just another.
Mr. Dockery, I can go get the article on me and my dad growing food. You want me to go get it in short time?
You don't need to do that for me. You don't have to.
And now guess what, Mr. Dockery? You ain't never saw it.
You don't have to convince me, big brother.
Okay,
you
know Mr. Dockery, I'm going to tell you why I'm at. I'm getting ready to get up out of the way. So guess what? From Terry Sewell down to the Turk, I'm going to tell you what's getting ready to happen. Good Lord, getting ready to whoop you. Because you know what they did with the money? And the FBI, listen, and the CIA, and Biden, and Kamala Harris, they know they got that money. They sitting back at their house with that money, and they go out and buy them some cars and a house and nice clothes. They take their time up and come out at 3 o'clock and play like they're doing leadership. They know what time it is. And guess what? I know what time it is. You know what time it is? Me to get out of the way and let God come in and get to work.
You're going to get out of the way.
You know, I already know what's going to happen.
Hold tight. Let me. You're going to get out of the way. I got you. I heard you. You're going to get out of the way. It is.
Got to get out of the way. Time for God to do his work. He got to do his work.
All right, let me talk now for a second, man. You're going to get out of the way. We got you. So we're talking from the topic, there is a word from the devil. And this is Talk Straight. I'm your host, Brother Doctor here. And I want our listening audience, the general audience, to understand where we're going. You may have heard a lot of conversation around this general topic. There's a word from the devil. And really what we're talking about there is what is often considered to be an evil force or bad, right? And what I, at the monologue, did outline some social economic challenges and issues that are prevalent with certain individuals or certain populations of people. And I didn't do so to castigate them to the peripheries of society, but I did so to identify what it was we need to be focusing on changing. And one of the things we have to do is we have to change our approach to educating our babies. If any of them are going to have any chance of improving, we got to change that. Some people don't want to do that. Some people can't do that. Some people are not interested in doing that. And guess what? I respect that. But for those of us, myself included, it's important to understand that all across America, particularly urban America, there are individuals who are challenged like this. And there is an appropriate way to address them, to embrace them, and to motivate and encourage. And that starts with example. And if I don't know how to work myself in with them, I'm going to have a problem getting any of that done. Our families. We do have brothers who are responsible for their children going to bed every night. U.S. Census Bureau suggests around 20 million children every night go to bed without their father that way. For different reasons. Incarceration is a reason because somebody went to jail. Death is a reason because somebody was killed or something to that effect, and then being away from them. Whatever the reasons are, let's address that. Well, I'm going to stop saying less. I'm going to go ahead and carry this cross by myself. Okay? That's what I'm focused on addressing, the root cause, and more importantly, the way that we embrace people. Now, the Council of State Legislatures for years have produced a report, and one of the things they focused on I thought was really good. I think it is still good, and that is how you can take individuals who don't pay child support and don't contribute to the growth and development of their children materially and not just lock them up for 180 days, but educate them and empower them so that they can do that, right? That's a good thing. I was glad to see that the Council of State Legislators focus on that. I hope they don't stop. That's a proactive step that can be taken, and it can help address the issues within the family. Now, the other factor is the relationship between males and females that bring children in the world. There are a medley of issues and things that need to be addressed. I don't want to give the impression that I think this is an easy task and that any of it is going to be resolved overnight. It goes back to what my sister was saying, though. If you care, you're going to have to realize you're going to have to take your time and make sure your mind is right before you can help other folks get their minds right. And that's really where the work is. That's not an easy thing. I want to ask you, 0946, taking out of this conversations about who, let's talk about what, in your view. Let's say I'm the person that is the drug dealer, I'm the person that is the degradant. What is it that you think I need? And in what way do you begin to get me to understand, accept that you may have something that's a need for me? Can you speak to that for me just a little bit?
I think that you have to be able to put a face to the issues. I think as long as the issues stay abstract, they stay intellectualized, they stay among academia. Like, one of the things that we know that's happening in low-income families is that the illiteracy rate is horrendous. The children can't read, which more than likely the parents can't either. Now, if we can't create a safe space for a parent to be able to say, hey, look, I don't know how to read. That's why I don't help my child with their homework. If other parents can't see another grown up get up and say, hey, look, I'm grown, but I read on a fourth grade, fifth grade level. And the reason why I don't help my children with their homework is I don't understand the homework. Until we create a safe space for people to be able to come out of the closet, per se, not talking about sexuality, but are saying, hey, look, I don't work with my child with their homework because I don't even understand half of what you're saying because of the vocabulary that you're using. I don't even understand what you're saying. I definitely don't understand the notes that come home because I can barely read it. I don't understand what you're asking me to do with my child. So because nobody creates a safe space for parents to be able to say that, then the parents are going to be resistant, they're going to be disrespectful, they're going to say that's your job, and so they're going to evade the parental involvement that is necessary for a child to be successful. That child cannot be successful without their parental environment. But we've got to put a face on this dirty little secret that's running around that our children cannot read and write. And so they cut up and act a fool in school because you're in an environment that says you're here to make good grades, you're here to read text, you're here to discuss it, analyze, all this stuff, and they can't participate. And so nobody wants to admit that they're in the shape that they're in. And so we've got to create a safe space for people to be able to say, hey, look, I can't read and I need help. And that not be a stigma around that, but be a place if you reach out for help, then somehow you can see that people are willing to help you and we see success stories. That's what I think.
Well said. Well said. I mean,
the doctor, she hit the nail right here on the nail. That's what's going on itself.
It's
sad,
well,
but that's what's going on.
I agree with her 100%, Don. And
they can't even read.
Let me reiterate the fact that I'm not trying to give the impression tonight that the solution is one that's going to be a fly-by-night thing or you can inject something. I don't want to give that impression. However, what she is saying is that the first step is to create an environment for teacher those children, their parents, the first influence that they ever had, their parents, to be able to feel comfortable enough to say, no matter where my level is of literacy, I'm all in with you to help me help my children. Man, that's deep right there. Did y'all get that? So it's not just about the children learning, but in effect, you've got to teach the whole family oftentimes. Oftentimes. That's no disrespect to them, but that's what the sister's saying. That is the reality. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to fall short just trying to extract their children out of the home and go pump something in their head. When they come back home, what's going to be the dominant, what's going on at the crib, right? You think you're really doing something big in that fabricated learning environment that you create. But when those babies go home, what is going to be affirmed? What examples? What ideas will be affirmed for them in the home? Well, what and can you create in your fabricated environment a semblance of the value base in the home and vice versa? I can tell you that that's one of the biggest problems in the breakdown in public schools and the education of children historically. I talked about a couple of days ago a longitudinal study that panned that out. There's empirical evidence that there's a significant breakdown in the approach or pedagogical approach to teaching in schools, in public schools in particular, and the children's social orientation and realities, what they're facing. That's, you know, some people won't have that conversation. And I know many teachers would say that, hey, they didn't teach us that in college, but that's what we need. Is that right, my sister? Even if you don't get it.
Yeah, and I think that, and I'll just say this real quick. I think when we have the conversation about what's going on with the children and they can't read or write and just do some basic skills, I think that we've got to create the space, like what they've done with drug addiction. They're really taking the stigma off that. They're really creating spaces for people to be able to say, hey, look, I'm addicted and I need help. And so until we have PTAs with other parents standing up in front of other parents or even grown-ups coming in that are reading on low levels and, hey, look, you're not by yourself. I understand what you're going through. They need a human being that they can relate to, because we can offer our help, but I can't relate to you. They're not going to feel that connection because you don't really understand the struggle that I have. And it's more powerful for somebody that looks like them, that's in the same shape thing, and to be able to get up and be strong enough to say, hey, look, let me tell you what's really going on with me, and let me tell you what's really going on with why I wasn't able to help my child, and I understand what you're going through, and I know it's hard, and I know it can be embarrassing, but listen, the only thing that you have to give your child in a world that's moving into high tech, if you want to be able to save their lives, if you want to be able to give them a fighting chance, they're going to have to be able to read, period.
It's imperative. It's imperative. And do math.
Yes.
And do math. It's imperative.
Yep.
Well, so, and here's the thing, and I realize that when you have a situation like in special ed where a parent is told that if you allow your child to be classified as special ed and to be in these classes, you'll get an additional payment or you get more money that comes to you. That signifies is what? A certain type of class, you know? As a global society, here's how we work with you to set certain goals to make sure they transition out, not stay in there forever, but transition out especially, because the goal is to make money now. Now, what you want the parent to understand is that the classification of special ed is simply acknowledging that there's some learning barrier, some difficulty that normal average students don't have. But that's not a ticket on a train that has no stop or destination for that child until they leave the public school after 12 years. And they still can't read, still can't write, and still cannot perform, as my sister said, in society with high-tech skills and what have you. I'm convinced that all of them can learn under the right conditions, circumstances. Who's willing to create them, though? That's the real question. And what the devil is saying, as long as you are distracted by all of the foolishness we see in the news and all these other places, I can keep on winning. And I'm going to get what I came for. Because I got you what? Distracted. Even the Savior said it, Don, when he was in the wilderness. You know, the devil said, look, man, you can jump off of this. Jump off of this. You know what he said? Take this stone and turn it into bread. And he flipped it on his head, Don. He flipped the argument and said, no. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth. I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help right there, see. Yeah. There is a word from the Almighty that is more powerful than the word from the enemy. Because the enemy comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and deceive everything and everybody can. We don't need that word. But we need this word of proaction. We need this word of motivation. Now, some of us ain't ready. It don't make you a bad man or woman if you ain't ready. Just get out of the way. Some of us are tired. We don't have the patience, the temperament to deal with it. I get that. Don't get out of the way. Stand to the side. But the question is, who will stand up? Who will take on the banner? The bloodstained banner changes proaction. I ain't talking about being against nothing and nobody. I'm talking about being for the change that we need. Listen. You listen to Talk Straight. Tonight we're talking from the topic, there's a word from the devil. And I had some conversations offline before the show with some individuals saying, man, what you trying to do? You're supposed to be a preacher. I am a preacher. But because I'm a preacher, I proclaim the truth. And the truth is that the enemy is more on his job than many of us are. The enemy is more consistent and determined to do his thing than many of us. If we picked up on that and we took that tenacity that the enemy had, that the devil had, to do what was good and profitable, man, look here. We can get rid of half of the problem we got, if not all of them. At least half of them, if not all of them. I'm trying to tell you. Trust me. Hear me now and believe me tomorrow. You can catch it tomorrow, but hear me right now. So with that being said, 657, we still got about 20 minutes or so before we wrap it. 657-383-0944. Facebook, thank you. If you listen, you want to chime in, you still can do so. Post your question or comment in the thread there or give us a call right here in the studio. We're on with sister out of Virginia, the St. Louis area by way of wherever he is, and a brother out of Selma, Alabama. And we're talking, this is your host, Reverend Doctor. And what we're trying to do is going the dialogue of change. Don.
Mr. Doctor, the sister, listen here, I'm going to grab my in-laws to her teeth.
Oh, boy.
And guess what? The minister is getting paid by the politicians to keep them dumb. I done seen it.
All right.
First
now, moving forward, though, big brother, Don, I know, I've been knowing you long enough to know that you do have a genuine concern. A lot of times you get so mad that it overrides your better person. But I know you have a genuine care, Don. And you have something that can be very useful. You and I talked about it some years ago, how we've identified resources on the state level, right? And possibly some industry opportunities. But the young men were not ready for that. They were not ready. We can argue that it was a missed opportunity. Okay. But guess what? Those who are in need of what you're talking about. One of the things here in Tennessee, Don, that I realized when I was running for state senate is that there were over 400 different areas that you had to have some sort of certification in. And in most cases, it knocked people out who didn't have advanced degrees or a certain type of skill certified skill training. But they had the skill, such as framing a house, laying brick, running electrical wire. You understand what I'm saying, Don? Because they didn't have, they couldn't go and get the paper behind them. Your code came behind you, they tell you to tear that down. It's illegal. Well, and you would argue that all they were trying to do is, you know, make a living. You understand what I'm saying? And there is a de-incentivized effort when it comes to agriculture broken goods. But yet there's money out there. There's money available for that type of thing. It's a mindset, and again, like my sister said, it's not what but how we go about presenting ourselves. And I like the way she said, be in the face. But now, they don't want to see my ugly face, do they? 46. They don't want to see my ugly face, do they? I mean, come on now. That may cause a run showing up, huh? Well, whose face is it that they'll see? And maybe sometimes they have to see an ugly face. That may jolt them into the change that you need. But, okay. Let me emphasize something else here before we, before our time is up. Y'all feel free if you have another thought that you want to. I want to go back to this thing about point that was made in terms of the anti-death culture. Part of what I believe is sparking that is this thing that people are learning in not only in elementary and secondary school, middle school, but they're learning college now. And they're learning very well how to deflect from reality. So to say I'm against Don is an excuse for me to talk about why me and Don are not on the same level or working together. It could be because of something I'm doing, Don. I could be causing a problem between us. But just to say that I don't like him and I'm against him and I'm anti-Don, that gives me an excuse not to put the work in to figure out how to be on one accord with him. You know, like the text says, Psalms 133, how good it is for brethren to dwell. You follow what I'm saying, Don?
Mr. Darker, I had, like I said, God gave me the experience to be with Brooks, LZ, and Gary Morton with my dad growing organic. And I thank him for that. And after LZ did and gone, Brooks is gone, you know, I thought about it. I said, guess what? I never see that again in this life. I just don't see it. You know, these brothers today, they just don't. I don't know what happened. I don't see it. You can bring it to them.
Well,
hey, man, let's grow food together. I just don't see it. I don't hear it from their gut or their heart. I got to be honest with you. I don't hear it.
Do you think Howlin' Wolf is right when he said, I got a spell on you? Because you're mine. How you going to belong to somebody? Going to claim ownership of someone else? But do you think that's what's going on, Don? We've given up our rights to self-determination, independence, and let somebody else determine our outcome. Is that possible, Don? that part of what's going on?
I don't know where, Mr. Dockery. When I left from Cleveland and got to Chicago, that's when my dad ran for Congress. Jesse was the first time Jesse ran for president. I got there on the west side, and I kept hearing this word, F it. And the only place I heard it was at Roosevelt Road in Ashland. And I'm like, why do you always say that? You know, and then you come down here to Selma, that same energy done floated down here, and it's the same thing. It's like, we all got to die and just forget it, you know? I don't feel that way. You know, I have hopes. I have dreams. I have visions.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I have plans to proceed on. I don't just F
right.
it or don't care. That's exactly what I'm hearing.
Right.
I hear 24 hours
right.
a day. You know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
And like I said,
so
I'm trying to get my van so I can move on. Huh?
You're talking about that self-defeated mentality where they just give
that's
up.
That's it. That's
right?
all I hear, Mr. Doctor. They don't care. They don't care no more.
Yeah.
And guess what? Since you don't care and you want to get in that negative cord, I know somebody to help you care. And guess what? I'm getting out of the way.
Hey, Don, I want to be clear that I do understand what you're saying, that there is a time and a place for you to remove. I'm not saying leave and forget about them, but remove yourself to a point where it's safe for you to be able to be effective, right? Because it's not working if you're in someone's face. You're trying to help them. You're only aggravating the situation. That's not helpful either.
Mr. Darkley, I was even shocked to hear Jiganel's son, Derek, tell me I ain't raising tobacco. I'm truck patching. I was shocked to even hear Derek say that. You know what I'm saying? I'm joyful
sure.
that I heard him say it, but I was kind of
okay.
shocked. You know what I'm saying?
I get that. But in the grand scheme of things, because let's explain the context of what you're saying, Don, right now. That where he grew up, growing tobacco was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Don? That was a big thing.
It was a cash crop. That's how we made a living in Tennessee. That's
yeah.
how Granddad
now,
and Uncle Son, we made a living.
But watch this. Under President Obama, there was a major lawsuit against the tobacco industry that greatly affected the productivity there, right? And as a result, there was you didn't have so much encouragement to produce tobacco on the scale. See what I mean, Don? And I suspect
mm-hmm.
that in Tennessee and in other places where there was a major commodity that was at play. This is where some of the money that I was telling you about earlier for agriculture, because of what President Obama said, is that we're going to earmark these monies from the lawsuits that are being paid. We're going to earmark those for agricultural programs, and they distribute them to state agencies. Now, why don't young people know about that? I'm not going to say who I fault, but I will say this. The people that are supposed to represent you have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that you not only know that exists, but how to access it and take advantage of it as well. But if we're angry, if we're on edge, we're fist balled up, we're not thinking rational like that, are we? We're not going after those things, those resources. One of the things that's necessary is to alleviate some of the barriers to some of the skills, the natural skills that people have, that they can make money from. But, you know, you create a system where you got to get a piece of paper. Somebody got to pay for it, right? The trainer, the teacher got to get paid. And again, that's their job. It's a greater thing than what you might think there. So, but there you go. There you go. The word from the I can get whatever I want from you as long as I get in your head and keep you distracted from doing for yourself. And I'll make you feel like I'm the only thing you can ever do yourself. That's a Mac for you, ain't it, my sister? Ain't that some Macing for you? Well, you got people feeling like they can't make it without you. Utterly.
Why?
Utterly amazing. Okay. But see, next. About 10 minutes we have. Anybody have another thought they want to bring into this conversation? There, I'm going to say there was a word from the devil, but we knocked that off the table. We've determined just in that. Forget you, devil.
Mr. Doctor, I think a lot of the negative thoughts that our people do have, it comes from TV, the media. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I see. I think ABC, yes. CBS, and NBC got them.
I concur. And a lot of these other cable shows. You talk about junk food for thought. My goodness. My goodness. I mean,
well, you know, man. What? I think so. I think what's happening, though, just like drugs, people listening to a certain kind of music all the time is a way to escape. I think
yes.
What's happening with TV is that it has become the next new thing for escapism. Now, and people that are learned understand that that's a bunch of junk. They watch it for and put it into perspective. It's, you know, they know it's a bunch of junk. I'm just going to, you know, my brain, I don't feel like studying, and I'm going to do it. But this, for our people, is a diet, and they actually believe this stuff. They actually believe that you can just – you can make all these decisions and your life can change with a makeover. They actually believe that you can make all these raggedy choices for your life and your life is going to turn around in 6 months. They actually believe this stuff.
Yeah.
Other people know this is just reality. It's just entertainment. But our people really believe a lot of, especially in low income in urban America, they actually believe that, oh my God, I can become that NBA player because they don't know anything about math and understand, well, what are your odds of becoming a player? You know, because see, so and so came from the ghetto and they made it, so that means I can make it too. They don't have any thinking skills to lend thought to how realistic is this. And so you've got people talking about, well, so-and-so lived in their car and they went to Hollywood and they made it, and she couldn't read and she made it, and he didn't have money. And I'm thinking, y'all, these are anomalies. These are the exceptions to the rule. Do you understand what that means? No, they don't understand it. So I think that with the diet, with social media, is that there's a breakdown between what's real and what ain't. Like, you know, because white kids listen to this rap music and, you know, and do all that kind of stuff, but they leave high school, go to college, and get on code, leave that whole world. We still wearing our hats backwards at 56 years old.
Wow.
They left the rap world. They was with LL Cool J till they got through with college, and then they got on code. We still, at 60 years old, wearing tennis shoes and baggy pants and got our pants on backwards and all this whole kind of stuff because we've never grown up. We're still in that fantasy world that's on television. And I really think that that's what's happening a lot with our community, is that, you know, they really believe, you know, I can go up here and screw my life up, have a child, and have three children and three different baby daddies, and I can still grow up and be an attorney, because they'll take somebody that actually did that, showcase them, and say, see there? If they did it, I can do it, but don't understand the support those people had, the money that was involved, all the details and all the stuff that really had to happen for a mother of five to become an attorney, what kind of support system she had to have. They don't understand that.
Hold on one second.
Can I throw something into the system? Sister, the European people that listen to rap, they KKK, they know exactly what you're doing. Don't think they don't know what you're doing. I growed up with good old boys. They see you doing that, they want you to do that.
Right.
They know the mechanism they call that. You got to know who your enemy is. You thinking he's a white boy and your friend. No, they know their nationality. They know they Scottish Rite Masons. They know they Knights of Columbus and Knights of Malta. They know what they doing to you. you sisters have to be aware that that's a snake. A snake is a snake.
That's true. I was going to, when she was talking, I was thinking about Jennifer Hudson, how she came out of South Side of Chicago, right? And she went on a reality show and blew up overnight, it seems, right? And you have people who think, hey, I could be famous like that too, and don't have to put no work in, really, just because I'm good at what I do. And, you know, you think you're really good, but it's not that easy, is it? It's not quite that easy. You were talking about Steve Harvey, how he slept in his cars and what have you, and his struggle, and then you glorify that. And there are so many things left out of the 30-minute episode on TV while you done moved on to the next episode, to the next show, and before you know it, a whole day is gone. You've done nothing productive for yourself, but all you've done is absorb pseudo ideas. That's a big piece. Now, am I saying that there's no room for TV? Well, you have to be able to prioritize that, especially for your children.
Right.
Especially for you. It's 24 hours in a day. How much of those hours should our babies be focused and learning something every day, on the weekends too? You understand what I'm saying? That's something
right.
We control.
Right.
We control what they do in the White House, or what the government does, or what. But we can control what goes on in our house.
Hey, Mr. Doctor.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna throw this at the sister. My father was running for Congress, and you know what he was told? If you want to be congressman, you got to do what we say do. So it ain't what you think it is. Everything ain't what you think it is.
Well,
I was told that about Reverend Jackson. Somebody told me, my oldest son's mother-in-law told me, like, you might not want to do what he did to get where he got. So it ain't reality. If you're looking at it, it's not the reality you're looking at.
Yeah, take that into account, too. Yeah, sure. So that has to be taken into account as well. You got to count up the cost. And that's personal responsibility is what we're talking about. Self-determination, personal responsibility. We're gonna is there a final thought from any of you guys before we get out of here for this August 19th? Thank you for joining us, my sister. I appreciate you. It's good to hear from you again. You there? Did you mute yourself? Okay. Done.
Yeah, I heard you. I was on mute. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I would just like to say this. I would just like to say this. I think that it's getting really tough out here. If you're not I've seen Steve Harvey give these motivational talks and talk about how he dreamed one day he would be on television. And he was a class clown, and he was just that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people that are educated know that that was, you know, man, you got lucky, right? They know that. They know that is not the norm. And so, but they'll set up a Steve Harvey to go into our schools and propagate this nonsense. And you can be a class clown and just dream and believe in the law of attraction and all this whole kind of stuff. And you can blow up and be a star. and you've got a lot of people that really believe that, and then the other people are like, you know, man, I need to give me a good job so I can live in the suburbs and raise my children in a safe environment and take them to Disney World, and I'll probably never be rich. The reality is, I understand that I probably will never be a millionaire. I will never be a multimillionaire, but I understand that I can create a safe environment for my children and live, you know, a nice life and do things and travel and do that kind of stuff. And understand that that's where it's at, because most people are not going to be on television and be at the NBA and be at play professional sports and all of that. Most people know that. So, you know, they just kind of go in and vicariously live through people. They understand what they're doing. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And so I just think I think that's huge for us.
Yeah. All right. I hate to. You just got about 3 minutes here. Go ahead, Don, right quickly, and we'll take that.
I'm going to say something to you. I'm 61 years old, and I'm going to say something to you. You're a billionaire now. You just don't know it. And if you had the right literature to read, guess what? You could enhance your wealth. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
All right. Well,
I'll receive that.
You all been listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the topic. There was a word from the devil. We have stretched that out now. And we're looking at a word of righteousness and truth and change. So we appreciate you guys. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. And we hope that you can join us then at 7 o'clock p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And our Facebook group, thank you again. And we will see you guys on Tuesday for our next episode. We hope that everybody have a good night. All right, Hal, take us home.
All right, good night.
All right.
I can't stand to know they put me down. I put a spell on you. Stop the face you do.